Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A warning. This series contains discussion of themes that might be distressing for some listeners. Peter Ellis, The Crash Case, and me is a newsroom.co.nz production. We take you right inside one of New Zealand's most controversial cases, when a kind of madness gripped Christchurch, resulting in a miscarriage of justice that would take 30 years to put right. It was a saga that divided a city, destroyed families, and shocked the nation.
Mrs. Ellis, are you convinced that your son is innocent?
Completely convinced my son is innocent.
I don't know how I ended up with 30 child abuse charges.
I think he's a very clever offender.
If I asked you to take a lie detector test, would you take it?
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Some of the words that are said in that courtroom, I just literally feel ill.
The police are an embarrassment.
The hysteria just blew up.
Charges against the accused have been established beyond reasonable doubt.
In 1993, childcare worker Peter Ellis was sentenced to 10 years in jail for abusing preschoolers at the Christchurch Civic Crèche. He was tried, convicted, and innocent. Kia ora, I'm Melanie Reid, Newsroom's Investigations Editor. Welcome to the first episode of our 8-part podcast of Peter Ellis, The Crèche Case, and me. It's called Unbelievable. The stranger-than-fiction Christchurch Civic Crèche case centred on a young male childcare worker, Peter Ellis, who happened to be gay, and his four women co-workers. They were accused of operating an organised child sex abuse ring. More than 100 kids underwent evidential interviews. The police were convinced, and so were the government agencies. There was drama, division, hysteria, and panic. Children were telling incredible stories, like adults had stood in a circle playing guitars with tin cans around their necks while the children kicked each other in the genitals. They said that Peter Ellis had dug up Jesus Christ, that kids had been run over and drowned, and even Peter's mother was involved. The allegations were so outlandish, I thought they seemed implausible. But the experts were saying they weren't. So I somehow convinced Peter Ellis to let me interview him. But because he had been charged and was going through the court system, he could not be seen with me or aligned with a reporter. So all our meetings and interviews were in secret. I'm often asked how on earth this case ever happened. How did something so unbelievable somehow become believable? I hope this series will answer that. In the first episode, in interviews never heard before, Peter Ellis talks of his shock and dismay at being considered a child abuser.
The 10-year sentence was greeted with a great deal of satisfaction by parents and police.
The 12-member panel convicted Ellis on 16 of the 25 charges he faced.
We're very shocked, and I think it's very unfair, but that's all we want to say.
We will fight as a family to get him released from jail.
It was a promising start that ended 6 years later, with Ellis suspended and facing 45 charges of sexual abuse. The victims...
Peter Ellis and the Christchurch Civic Crash case saturated the news in the early 90s. Everyone, it seemed, had an opinion on his guilt or innocence. At the time, I practically lived at the Christchurch courthouse covering the Ellis story for TV3. At night, I would visit Peter at his house. We would smoke cigarettes and drink sherry on his veranda. I was the only journalist he ended up talking to in the 90s.
I hope one day that they're actually going to be prepared to come along and say, "Hello, Peter, can you tell me, did we get it wrong?" And I'll tell them they got it wrong because it didn't happen.
Hi, Poets Mal.
Hi, Mal.
Can you remember when I interviewed Peter Ellis?
Yeah, I remember it well, in the 90s.
Yeah, it was 1993. Anyway, I've got all the tapes, you know, and they're on beta. They're like 30 years old. I'm hoping that you might be able to salvage them for me.
I can have a go.
Most of those interviews have never been seen before, and wondering what would be the process to, you know, digitise them.
Well, if you can get them to me, you jump in your car, get them to the airport or whatever, and get them here, I'll see if I can get them cleared. And I have a machine, so I can put them through and see what we can get off them. How many tapes are there now?
There's 40 or 50.
Alright. It's going to be a bit of a job.
Yeah.
They may not survive. We might be able to get the pictures off them, might not.
The mission to salvage the tapes was successful, and here I am in March 1993 asking Peter the very first question in our very first TV interview.
Just to start off with, Peter, how has your life changed since the arrest?
Since my arrest last year. Hold still, I've got to think about this for a moment. Yeah, I should have realised you.
I was 27 when I interviewed Peter Ellis.
Yeah. Oh, no,
he
don't
was
worry, look,
34.
I think it's really hard.
It wasn't quite.
Do you want me to start off with something else?
Yeah.
It's just sort of like I thought it'd be good to talk about, you know, what you've sort of been through and stuff to start with.
During the weekdays, Peter Ellis was in court, but on Sunday afternoons, early in 1993, we did a series of interviews at sad motels on the outskirts of Christchurch. They were top secret. We made sure no one saw us, such was the climate of panic due to the hysteria and hostility that surrounded the case. Peter had already had a bullet sent to him in the mail and had been assaulted by four men.
I didn't get a chance to be scared because my flatmate Davey had basically been hit first and attacked, and when the windows smashed in the front of my house, I went and phoned 111, and I believed that police would turn up, though the police had turned around and said to me once, we might not be able to get there in time, which is part of the intimidation I felt at that time. I thought, I am in New Zealand, aren't I? They ripped my phone out of the wall. One of them must have seen me phoning because he said, "Look, the police are coming," and someone called out, "Look, that's enough."
The attack left windows shattered and the occupant terrified. A team of police arrested at least four men at the scene. It
seems that so four men smashed your windows, came through your house with pieces of, what, 4x2s or something?
Oh, slightly thinner, but solid enough. My head felt so anyway.
And they hit you?
They hit me. Yeah.
How many times?
Oh, numerous. I mean, I had bruising on my back, my legs. I had grazes and cuts to my hand and arm, a cut across my nose, the whole of the back of my head. And yeah, I mean, it was knocked from pillar to post.
What did they want?
I hate using the word kid fucker, and that's what he said when he came through with his bit of wood and banged me.
Go back nearly three decades, Christchurch was like the England of the Antipodes. Fabulous gardens, the cathedral, fine Edwardian architecture, conservative and proper. But not far below the surface, an undercurrent of white power gangs and crime. While traditional attitudes were changing, you have to remember only a few years earlier, sex between men had been illegal in New Zealand.
Do not vote to legalise sodomy in this country!
So conservative beliefs were very much alive and well in this rather staid South Island city.
So a bullet arrived with your name engraved on it?
With my name engraved on it. I sort of tried to rationalise which of what I used to consider and thought were sane, rational people, that some of them were friends.
Talking about the parents?
Parents, yeah. And I was sort of trying to think, which of the parents could do this? I mean, yeah, all right, I came out with a couple that have since really... lost it. I mean, not without cause. I mean, their children have been put through an awful lot of things, but not by us, not by the civic creche. Nothing happened to those children at that creche or anywhere else by any staff member. But what's happened to them through social workers, through the police, and it's just continual being questioned. And I can hear the parents... pain, but they're not waiting for justice to be done. And again, I'm harking back to the fact of the matter is I know I'm innocent, and again, naive, I suppose. Everyone's going to eventually rationalise this somehow. I mean, and I hope they do.
Throughout our interviews, Peter was convinced that the truth would prevail. He truly believed he would be found not guilty, purely on the basis that he wasn't guilty, that everyone who thought he'd sexually abused preschoolers in his care would actually come to their senses.
The police are an embarrassment.
But there was much more, so much more at stake. The very reputations of the police, social welfare, Crown Law. The creche case was the biggest show in town. The media reported every minute detail of it. The country was consumed. There was so much momentum. It was like an unstoppable beast.
Peter Bronshaw, 3 National News.
Mark Jennings, 3 National News.
Jeff Hampton, 3 National News.
Peter being gay influenced the way the media reported this case. His sexuality underpinned all aspects of the reporting, including my own.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Peter, how would you describe yourself? What sort of man are you?
Well, I consider myself a reasonable person, a fair person. I consider myself a caring person. I like a good gossip, which probably has got me into trouble sometimes.
You are a bit different though, aren't you?
There's all these trite little words like heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual, asexual. I'm supposedly would fit into bisexual. It gives me a perspective on a different outlook on sex than, say, it's just an ordinary heterosexual, straight heterosexual person. I get on better with women. I feel more comfortable in the company of women. But I seem to end up sleeping with men.
Peter was constantly referred to as an openly gay childcare worker. Not a childcare worker, not a childcare worker who was gay, but an openly gay childcare worker. I asked him a lot of cringe-worthy questions back then about sex, about being gay, which he always handled in a typically Peter way, unashamedly himself.
Do you think the fact that you are gay, and quite obviously gay, I don't want you to take that the wrong way, but do you think that you're an easy target? Look at it from a public perspective.
From a public... It depends on people's attitudes. I mean, nowadays people's attitudes towards gay people are changing. It's slow, but they are changing. They're realising that what happens in the bedroom doesn't affect your work or your job or how you relate to other people. People nowadays are coping with the idea that really they aren't that different, but from that one point. I mean, some people are never going to believe it. I mean, whether they be Christians or whether how they've been brought up, they are not going to be able to cope with gay people.
The Civic Crèche, which had opened in 1976, was run by the Christchurch City Council. It was in Cranmer Square in the centre of town, not far from Hagley Park. The parents whose children attended the crèche were a diverse group and most leaned to the left of the political spectrum: social workers, single mothers, liberal middle-class parents. Peter, being gay, free-spirited and vivacious, was not just accepted, but adored.
There's a so-called stereotype of what people would consider a childcare worker. The Civic Childcare Centre was special. The people in it were special. They weren't your atypical childcare worker. And I'm not running down childcare workers, saying that we were any better. But we were more family orientated. We were aware of our parents as much as the children, because if there was something going wrong at home and a mother came in crying, or a father for that matter, then it's going to affect the child that comes to us. And if we could take that parent down to the staff room and give them a cup of coffee and a cup of tea or whatever and have a talk with them and sort of say, well, we're here for you as much as your children. So I think in some ways our whole centre, we were different from what some people consider childcare workers to be.
What about you though? Do you think you were different?
Well, I had run-ins with my boss.
Gay, yes.
And because I wanted to, you know, go outside in the rain with the children and paint in the rain, and, you know, sort of saying, well, it's raining, you can't. And I'm sort of saying, but it's warm rain. In fact, you can get wet rain and dry rain. She looked at me, you can't get wet rain, dry rain. I said, you can. There's certain rains wet and certain rains dry. I know that might sound silly, but you can get wet and drizzle, whereas you get dirty, great big plops of rain. And, you know, you don't, I mean, you get wet, obviously, but you're not drenched or anything. And this was a warm day, and we sprinkled Lux Flakes all over the place, and we went out and painted. You know, painted on the concrete. And, I mean, the water made all the paint spurl out, and the kids had a great time. Came back in, got dried off. It was a fun day. I mean, I went for spontaneity. I mean, I wanted the kids to have a good time. Like, when I went to the gardens, for example, look, we used to hide in the leaves. I mean, when there's the poor old gardens that just raked up all these piles of leaves, and, of course, by the time we'd finished, they were all over the place. But we had a good time.
Peter became a childcare worker by a strange twist of fate.
Well, I was given 80 hours of community service, and I was given a choice of working at an animal shelter or at the Civic Childcare Centre.
Why were you given 80 hours of community service?
I was accused of defrauding social welfare. It's a long, convoluted story how it came about. And the upshot of it was that I got 80 hours community service. And as I said, I was offered those two choices. And I already had my own animals, like as in heaps. And so I chose, I'd work at the childcare centre. I've always had an affinity with animals and children. And I got on well with the children. I got on well with the staff there, and I fitted in. And the upshot of it was, after a week, I was asked if I wanted to relieve for a woman that was taking maternity leave. And so I finished my other 40-hour community service bit and basically started straight away at the Civic Childcare Centre.
And you've been there for 6 years?
Yep, 6 years. 3 years worth of training, and, well, I ain't got 6 years left now, it's all gone, put it bluntly. I get up, I get breakfast, I feed my animals, I go down to the shops.
Many of my interviews with Peter Ellis have not been seen before, and what we are publishing now, all these years on, is a pretty raw, unedited version, unlike in the early 90s, when we focused on the more controversial aspects of the interview. That was the approach back then, adversarial. So if you were interviewing someone charged with child abuse, it was expected that you would hit them hard and then hit them again. So while most of the time we were pretty relaxed and chatting away, the parts that actually ended up going on the telly tended to be the more provocative aspects of the interview.
What is it like walking around with child abuse charges of an extremely horrific nature against your name?
Well, I can't answer that because I know I didn't do it.
Are you a paedophile?
No, I'm not a paedophile.
Have you ever had sexual relations with young children?
No, I've never had a sexual relationship with young children, and the thought is abhorrent.
Are you lying?
No, I'm not lying.
If I asked you to take a lie detector test, would you take it?
I offered to do a lie detector test right at the very beginning, and I was informed it doesn't happen in New Zealand. I would quite willingly take a lie detector test.
To understand how one of New Zealand's most controversial cases began, we need to go back to the beginning, the spring of 1991. Christchurch, the Garden City, was hosting a family violence conference that included ritual abuse workshops.
and the media and the public were being fed some disturbing messages as a result.
In New Zealand, evidence against satanic cults is mounting.
Well, I personally know of four cults that are operating.
You're having to endure severe and bizarre physical and sexual torture.
There was this sense, in hindsight at least, of a gathering storm that Peter Ellis and his co-workers were completely oblivious to, that would become known as Satanic Panic. New Zealand's establishment city was about to be consumed by something unholy and unthinkable. The large-scale ritual sexual abuse panic that had been sweeping the world landed in central Christchurch. Something bordering hysteria took over the city. Author Lenny Hood described it as collective delusion and called Christchurch a city possessed.
It was a fairly overheated climate that it just took one allegation like a match to a tinder dry landscape and off it went.
Off it went indeed, and it was the beginning of what would become a story that lasted decades. Coming up in the next episode, Detective Colin Ead is convinced Peter Ellis is not acting alone, that at least 10 other offenders are also involved. The fear and paranoia starts to build. To watch the video series of Peter Ellis, The Crash Case, and me, and for more award-winning journalism that matters, head to newsroom.co.nz. If you like what you're hearing, don't forget to subscribe.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinez.
I'm Kayla Itzinez, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Please rate and review our series. It helps new listeners find us. Check out our social media pages to get in touch and see photos and video clips. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok by searching The Peter Ellis Case. This series is written, produced, and presented by me, Melanie Reed, edited by Paul Entercott and Lewis Tennant. Original music by Age Prior, sound mix by Richard Wills, written and produced by Bonnie Sumner, and our podcast producer is Lewis Tennant. This is a Newsroom Investigates production made in partnership with News Hub. Peter Ellis, The Crash Case, and Me is public interest journalism funded through New Zealand On Air.